Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldrand. Today, we're talking about Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Vav, the ninth parak, Misha Meis. So the three tops we're going to focus on. Number one, Shmuel said, Bokin u Kedushin u Gerushin u Chalitza u Miyunin. We check a youth for simanim of adulthood regarding marriage, divorce, chalitza, and miyun. That's a katana who married rabbinically, who can revoke her marriage until reaching adulthood. Although we assume a boy of 13 and a girl of 12 already develop simanim of adulthood, we do not rely on this assumption when it causes a leniency, such as allowing her to remarry. The Gemara wonders why a boy needs to be checked before divorcing if he was already examined before his marriage. It answers that it's relevant for a katan who did yibum to his brother's wife, whose marriage takes effect midaraisa, even for a katan. Shmuel mentioned checking for chalitza to exclude Rabbi Yossi's opinion that a katan is eligible for chalitza. He mentioned checking for miyun to exclude Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that a girl can do miyun until a stage of maturity later than two sa'aros. Point number two, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says that even a dangerously ill person must make a kinyan to transfer property. The Chachamim argument told Rabbi Eliezer about an incident in which the mother of Rochel's sons declared her brooch, which was worth 12 mana, should go to her daughter, Vekimus de Varea, and the rabbis fulfilled her words and gave her the brooch, despite not having made a kinyan. Rabbi Eliezer responded, "Bini Rochel tikbarom iman, Rochel's sons, their mother should bury them. They were wicked people, and the brooch was given to the daughter to penalize them, not because the gift was effective." Shmuel explains that Rabbi Eliezer considered Rochel's sons wicked because they were maintaining thistles in their vineyard. He's following his reasoning in a Mishnah which states, "Amakaim kotzim bekerem." If one maintains thistles in his vineyard, Rabbi Eliezer says, "Kadesh." He is following his reasoning in a Mishnah which states, "Amakaim kotzim bekerem." If one maintains thistles in his vineyard, Rabbi Eliezer says, "Kadesh." This condemns the field as kalim. But the Chachamim say nothing condemns the field as kalim except davish kamohu makaimin, something the likes of which people maintain. Since people do not generally maintain kotzim, they do not make kalim. Eliezer holds that since in Arabia people maintain kotzim for feeding their camels, it makes kalayim. And point number three, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says, "B'Shabbos Dvarav Kayomin, if a Shechemi Ra gives a gift on Shabbos, his words are fulfilled without a kinyan, b'fnei shein yachol lichtov, since he cannot write, avlo b'chol, but not if it was given on a weekday." He holds that Shechemi Ra was enabled to verbally give gifts on Shabbos only when he has no other option. Rabbi Yeshua responds, "B'Shabbos Amr, they said his verbal gift is effective on Shabbos, kal v'chomer b'chol, then it certainly is on a weekday." He argues that if he can verbally give gifts when he lacks the ability to make a kinyan, then he certainly can where he has that ability. The Mishnah records a similar dispute. Rabbi Yezer says, "Zakin al katan, one can acquire on a katan's behalf who cannot acquire for himself, vein zakin legado, but one cannot acquire on an adult's behalf since he can acquire for himself." Rabbi Yeshua argues that if one can acquire for a person who lacks the ability to acquire, then certainly he can acquire for an adult who has that ability. In a Bryce, Rabbi Meir reported these arguments in the reverse. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Shmuel said, "Bokin lo kedushin lo gerushin lo chalitza l'miyunin." We check a youth for simanim of adulthood regarding marriage, divorce, chalitza, and miyun. That's when a katana married rabbinically, she can revoke her marriage until reaching adulthood. Although we assume a boy of 13 and a girl of 12 already develop simanim of adulthood, we do not rely on this assumption when it causes a leniency, such as allowing her to remarry. The Gemara wonders why a boy needs to be checked before divorcing if he was already examined before his marriage. It answers that it's relevant for a katan who did yibum to his brother's wife, whose marriage takes effect midaraisa, even for a katan. Shmuel mentioned checking for chalitza to exclude Rabbi Yossi's opinion that a katan is eligible for chalitza. He mentioned checking for miyun to exclude Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that a girl can do miyun until a stage of maturity later than two sa'aros. Point number two, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says that even a dangerously ill person must make a kinyan to transfer property. The Chachamim argument told Rabbi Eliezer about an incident in which the mother of Rochel's sons declared her brooch, which was worth 12 mana, should go to her daughter, Vekimus de Varea, and the rabbis fulfilled her words and gave her the brooch, despite not having made a kinyan. Rabbi Eliezer responded, "Bini Rochel tikbarom iman, Rochel's sons, their mother should bury them. They were wicked people, and the brooch was given to the daughter to penalize them, not because the gift was effective." Shmuel explains that Rabbi Eliezer considered Rochel's sons wicked because they were maintaining thistles in their vineyard. He's following his reasoning in a Mishnah which states, "Amakaim kotzim bekerem." If one maintains thistles in his vineyard, Rabbi Eliezer says, "Kadesh." He is following his reasoning in a mission which states, Hamakayim kotz mekerim, if one maintains thistles in his vineyard, Eliezer says, Kaddish, this condemns the field as kalayim. But the Chachamim say nothing condemns a field as kalayim except Dabar Shekamohu Makayimin, something the likes of which people maintain. Since people do not generally maintain kotzim, they do not make kalayim. Eliezer holds that since in Arabia people maintain kotzim for feeding their camels, it makes kalayim. And point number three, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says, "B'Shabbos Dvarav Kayomin, if a Shechemi Ra gives a gift on Shabbos, his words are fulfilled without a kinyan, b'fnei shein yachol lichtov, since he cannot write, avlo b'chol, but not if it was given on a weekday. He holds that Shechemi Ra was enabled to verbally give gifts on Shabbos only when he has no other option. Rabbi Yeshua responds, "B'Shabbos Amru, they said his verbal gift is effective on Shabbos, kal v'chomer b'chol, then it certainly is on a weekday. He argues that if he can verbally give gifts when he lacks the ability to make a kinyan, then he certainly can where he has that ability." The mission records a similar dispute. Rabbi Yezer says, "Zakin al-Katan, one can acquire on a katan's behalf who cannot acquire for himself, vein zakin al-Gadol, but one cannot acquire on an adult's behalf since he can acquire for himself." Rabbi Yeshua argues that if one can acquire for a person who lacks the ability to acquire, then certainly he can acquire for an adult who has that ability. In a bright sort of mayor reported these arguments in the reverse. All right, so now we get our simon daf kuf nun vav, and our standard simon is a canoe. A canoe. So here goes. The 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simanim Bidika Center. Made sure not to dock near the wicked boys who were maintaining kotzim in a kerem, which is problematic because of kalayim. And was told by a man in a fancy canoe that it was a gift from a shchimiro who gave it verbally to him on a Shabbos. Once again, slow motion. The 13-year-old boy is canoeing. Canoeing? That must be daf kuf nun vav. Canoe. The 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simanim Bedika Center, which reminds us, Shmuel said, "Bot kinu kedushin ugerishin uchalitza umiyunin." We check a youth for Simanim of adulthood regarding marriage, divorce, chalitza, and miyun. The Gemara explains why Shmuel said they should be checked. So, the 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simanim Bedika Center, made sure not to dock near the wicked boys who are maintaining kotzim in a kerem, which is problematic because of kalayim. Which reminds us, Rabbi Eliezer responded, "Bnei Rochel tikborom iman." Rochel's sons, their mother should bury them. They are wicked people. Shmuel explains that Rabbi Eliezer considered Rochel's sons wicked because they were maintaining thistles in their vineyard. He's following his reasoning in a Mishnah which states, "Hamakayim kotzim ekerem." If one maintains thistles in his vineyard, Rabbi Eliezer says, "Kaddish." This condemns the field as kalayim, but the Chachamim say nothing condemns a field as kalayim except davar shekamohu mekayimin, something the likes of which people maintain. Since people do not generally maintain kotzim, they do not make kalayim. Eliezer holds that since in Arabia people maintain kotzim for feeding their animals, it makes kalayim. So, the 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simanim Bedika Center, made sure not to dock near the wicked boys who are maintaining kotzim in a kerem, which is problematic because of kalayim, and was told by a man in a fancy canoe that it was a gift from a shchimira who gave it verbally to him on a Shabbos, which reminds us, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says, "B'Shabbos Dvarav Kayamin, if a Shechemira gives a gift on Shabbos, his words are fulfilled without a kinyan, b'fnei she'en yachol lichtov, since he cannot write, avlo b'chol, but not if it was given on a weekday. He holds that Shechemira was enabled to verbally give gifts on Shabbos only when he has no other option." Rabbi Yeshua responds, "B'Shabbos Amru, they said his verbal gift is effective on Shabbos, kal v'chomer b'chol, then it certainly is on a weekday. He argues that if he can verbally give gifts when he lacks the ability to make a kinyan, then he certainly can when he has that ability." So once again, the 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simanim Bedika Center, made sure not to dock near the wicked boys who are maintaining kotzim in a kerem, which is problematic because of kalayim, and was told by a man in a fancy canoe that it was a gift from a shchimira who gave it verbally to him on a Shabbos. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blabach Chazara. Daf Kuf Nun Beis. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Nun Beis is a bank or a banker. So here goes. The two bankers, that must be more on Daf Kuf Nun Beis. The two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shechemira with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done in the Matna Shechemira was to give it both the power of a Matna Shechemira and also a regular gift, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a Matna Shechemira, Shekasuba Kinyan, the gift of a Shechemira with a kinyan written into it, where they performed a kinyan suda on the gift when it was not required. Rav says he has made it ride on two steeds, but Shmuel says, "I don't know how to judge such a gift." Rav holds that the Shechemira's purpose in making a kinyan for his gift was to give it both the power of a matna Shechemira and of an ordinary gift. It's like an ordinary gift in that he cannot retract upon recovering, and it's like a matna Shechemira that it has the ability to transfer alone. So the two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shchemira with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done in the Matna Shchemira was to give it both the power of Matna Shchemira and also a regular gift, or whether that would only work if he specified that he was giving more power, which reminds us, if a Shchemira said, Kisvu utnu mana laponi, write a shtar and give a mana to pony and died, Rav ruled that we do not write it and give it because perhaps he only intended to give it with the shtar, which is not effective after his death. Shmuel ruled that the gift should be written and given because in this case, it was miyafes kocho. He was enhancing the recipient's power with the kinyan by explicitly saying so. So the two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shchemira with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done in the Matna Shchemira was to give it both the power of a Matna Shchemira and also a regular gift, or whether that would only work if he specified that he was giving more power, were frustrated when they found out that the Shchemira had written and given the same gift to two people, which reminds us, Gemara brings another machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. If a Shchemira wrote away his property to someone and gave him the shtar recording the gift, and then did the same for someone else, Rav says the first recipient acquires it, and Shmuel says the second recipient acquires it. Rav's ruling reflects his opinion that making a kinyan for the gift is meant to give it the power of a matnas bari. He holds giving over the shtar has the same effect, so he can no longer retract. Shmuel's ruling reflects his opinion that this remains a standard matna Shchemira, and he can retract from it. Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Nun Gimel is a king. So here goes. The king, that must be Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. The king who was dying and had a scribe write a shtar, which included the words B'chaim Ubamaves, which reminds us that there was a shtar written by a Shchemira, which stated B'chaim Ubamaves, I give you this gift in life and in death. Rav said it's considered a matna Shchemira because since he wrote B'maves, he's saying it should take effect after his death. The mention of B'chaim in the shtar was merely a simon ba'alma d'chaya, an omen that he should live, meaning since he mentioned his impending death, he added a hopeful mention of living. Shmuel says it's considered a matnas bari because since he wrote B'chaim, he's saying it should take effect during his lifetime. The mention of B'maves was like one saying the gift should be yours from now and forever, meaning even after he dies. So the king who was dying and had his scribe write a shtar which included the words B'chaim Ubamaves was so shocked when after he got better and retracted, the recipient came to his court claiming it was given when the king was healthy, which reminds us, a braisa discusses a gift where the giver and recipients dispute if he was a Shchemira or a Bari when he gave it, and whether he can now retract. Rabbi Yaakov says the benefactor can take back the property without proving he was a Shchemira, but the recipients must prove he was a Bari to take the property. He follows the chazaka of the property, which was originally the giver's. Rabbi Nassan says that if he's currently a Bari, he must prove he was a Shchemira then. If he's currently a Shchemira, they must prove he was a Bari. Rabbi Nassan follows the current status. So the king who was dying and had his scribe write a shtar which included the words B'chaim Ubamaves was so shocked when after he got better and retracted, the recipient came to his court claiming it was given when the king was healthy, that he had his guards take the man down to an enclosed valley that was a Rishusa Rabim regarding Tum in the summer and Rishusa Yachid in the rainy season, which reminds us, a Mishnah says about Abika, a valley of grain fields, that during the summer, if it's enclosed, it's a Rishus Yachid regarding laws of Shabbos, but it's a Rishus of Rabim regarding questions of Tumah, and cases of doubtful Tumah are ruled Tameh. Since people enter the field during the harvest season, it's not secluded. However, during the rainy season, when produce is growing, and people do not enter the field, it's a Rishus Yachid for Tumah as well. Daf Kuf Nun Dod, so the Simmer Daf Kuf Nun Dod is a candy man. So here goes. The man looking for aiding to verify his shtar from the candyman, that must be a daf kufnun dalid. The man looking for aiding to verify his shtar from the candyman, gifting him a stash of candy, so the candyman's claim that it was a matna Shchemira could be ignored, which reminds us, in the Mishnah daf kufnun gimel amud aleph, where a gift was given and a dispute arose if the giver was a Shchemira at the time, Ramirez says the giver must prove he was a Shchemira, and the Chachamim say the recipients must prove he was a Bari to take the property. Amoraim dispute what proof the Mishnah means. Rav Huna says Rai be'edim, proof with edim that he was a Shchemira at the time. He explains that these Tanaim parallel the Machlokas quoted on the previous daf, whether we assume he was healthy then if he's healthy now, or we follow the property's chazaka. Other Amoraim say Rai be'kim ashtar, the Chachamim mean proof through certifying the document. So the man looking for aiding to verify his shtar from the candyman gifted him a stash of candy, so the candyman's claim that it was a matna Shchemira could be ignored, found a man insisting that his relative who sold the property was only a katan sucking on a lollipop at the time of the sale, which reminds us, someone once sold his late father's property and died, but his relatives claimed he died as a katan and the sale was invalid. They asked Rabbi Kiva Mahulabotko, what about examining his body to determine if he was a gadol? He responded, Yatam Rishayim Unavu, you are not permitted to disgrace the body by examining it. Furthermore, simanim and maturity tend to change after death, so the examination would prove nothing. So the man looking for Adim to verify his shtar from the candyman, gifting him a stash of candy so the candyman's claim that it was a matna shkimira could be ignored, found a man insisting that his relative who sold the property was only a katan sucking on a lollipop at the time of the sale, and another man admitting that he wrote a shtar giving away property but it was a shtar pasim, who wasn't believed, which reminds us, the Mishnah Bar Kabar states that if a field's previous owner challenged someone occupying it, and the occupant presented a shtar that he acquired it, then if the previous owner admits the shtar was not forged, but says it's a shtar pasim, a fake document to falsely make the holder appear wealthy, or a shtar amana, a document of trust, where the buyer was trusted to pay for the land but did not, voiding the sale, then if Adim do not corroborate his claim, we follow the shtar. Daf Kuf Nun Hey. So the Siman Daf Kuf Nun Hey is reeds. So here goes. When the young man celebrate his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Hey, Kana, reed. When the young man celebrate his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, which reminds the Gemara asks, from when can a youth who is unfamiliar with business sell his late father's properties? The Rashbam adds, this refers to land, but metaltalin may even be sold by a 6 or 7-year-old. Rava quoted Rav Nachman saying he must be 18 years old, but Rav Huna Bar Chinina quoted Rav Nachman saying he must be 20. Either way, he must physically be an adult, which was the subject of the examination of the youth who died after selling his father's property. Even a 20-year-old without simanim is halachically a katan unless he shows other symptoms of asaris. The Gemara brings a machlokas if it's within his 20th year or after his 20th year. So when the young man celebrated his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, his younger brother, who is only believed to testify about the sale of the reed flute, but not the field, which reminds us, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua says, L'edus eduso edus. Regarding edus, the testimony of a youth who is not old or knowledgeable enough to sell property is valid testimony. Marzutra says this only applies to metaltalin, which he can sell, but regarding real estate, which he cannot sell, his edus is also not accepted. So, when the young man celebrated his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, his younger brother, who was only believed to testify about the sale of the reed flute, but not the field, gave his portion of the field as a gift to the man who did him favors, which reminds us, Amemar says, U'matnasu matana, and the gift of a youth giving away inherited property is a valid gift. He would not give someone a gift unless he received some benefit from him. Therefore, the rabbi said his gift should be valid, so people would do things for him. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which duff do the case of a Suffolk tumah in a field that is a Rishus of Rabim in the harvest season and a Rishus of Yachid in the rainy season? That's on duff. Kuf Nun Gimel. Good. Number two, which duff do you discuss what the din is if the former owner challenges a shtar saying it's the shtar pasim or shtar amana? That's on duff. Kuf Nun Dalad. Good. Number three, which duff do we in that Shmuel says that we check youths for simanim regarding Kedushin, Gerushin, Chalitza, and Miunim? That's on duff. Kuf Nun Vav. Good. Number four, which stuff do you discuss an Eved whose master gave him all his property but retained some so he doesn't go free? That's on Duff. Kuf Nun. Good. Number five, which stuff do you learn that a youth giving away inherited property is a valid gift? That's on Duff. Kuf Nun Hey. Good. Number six, which stuff do you learn that we have a Malchok is regarding the minimum requirement for ratios of gaze? That's on Duff. Kuf Nun. Good. Number seven, which stuff do we discuss what the din is with a shtar which was written b'chaim u'b'maves, in life and in death? That's on Duff. Kuf Nun Gimel. Good. Number eight, which stuff do we malchok is about a matna shchimira that was given on a weekday versus a Shabbos? That's on Duff. Kuf Nun Vav. Good. Number nine, which stuff do you learn divrei shchimira k'ksuvim k'misurim damu? The words of a shchimira are considered like they're written and handed over to the recipient even without making a kinyan. That's on Duff. Kufnanov. Good. Number 10. Which daf do Malchokas if Rochel's sons were wicked for maintaining kotzim in their kerem? That's on daf. Kufnun Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.